You're listening to Radio Maria USA, streaming live from our website at radiomaria.us and on your smartphones through the World Families app. On your home telephone at this number,
1-631-359-8743.
And on the radio in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, 1360 KNIR New Iberia, and on FM at 89.7 KBIO Natchitoches and 91.1 KOJO Lake Charles. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur. In Ohio on 88.7 FM WHJM Anna, 1600 AM WULM Springfield with translator W277 AO, 103.3 FM Enon Dayton. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN Holly Daysburg Altoona. In Mississippi also on 88.1 FM WOLM D'Iberville Biloxi. In Wisconsin on 91.3 FM WRMW Peshtigo. And in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL Hammocks, Miami.
Radio Maria USA, a Christian voice in your home.
Good morning. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:01 Central Time, 11:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria, and want to welcome everyone. And thanks be to God for this opportunity. You've joined the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. Amen. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy and a blessing to be here. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. This is the time. It's the final battle. It's the end times, which we hear about often. And, a lot of times, Mother and sisters, we get questions like, what's going on? Like, everything is just upside down. And this was all prophesied. Our Blessed Lady in Fatima said, there'll come a time where there's going to be a diabolical disorientation, where good will be bad and bad will be good. Everything's upside down. And if Sister Magdalena is there, it's something in Tagalog is balagdad. It's backwards. It's all over the place. And really, it's an attack against God and against our free will, because that's the most vulnerable. And God knew that, of course, but he had to give us that free will in order to allow us to voluntarily love him, to voluntarily serve him, and now to voluntarily possess him. He could have programmed us, but he didn't do that. So again, there is some risk there, but God had to take that risk. And of course, through his grace, there will be no risk. So that's really very interesting. But yeah, there's this final battle that we're in right now, and this is nothing new. I mean, if you look at it, look at the Holy Innocents. I mean, they were looking to kill God before he was even born. And at the time of death, and then when he was born, and this Catholic Christian faith took over, they thought that they did away with it. And then I think it was in 70 AD when the Levites founded the Miraculous Force, and the Miraculous Force changed their name in the 1500s because they said that sounds too nefarious, and they changed their name to the Freemasons. And of course, their whole goal, whether the participants know it or not, is to destroy the Catholic Church. And that's what they're doing right now. But it's not going to win. And God's free will is going to reign, because our will is now going to be fused and protected through and with God's most holy divine will. So without further ado, Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello. It's nice to be with everyone.
Well, I hear a crowd today. That's a great sound.
Well, it's a sister, Grace's birthday today. She's 19 years old. And so our San Marino sisters came to celebrate her birthday with us this evening. So we're happy about that. We're always happy when they can come and visit with us and they get excited and we get excited. So it's like a homecoming all the time, you know. But anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that people are confused sometimes. I know I've always wondered, am I doing it right? Am I doing acts in the divine will right? How do you do acts in the divine will? How do you think about it? How do you perceive it? And I was just reading this today, volume 27. It was today's date, February 17th. My daughter, my divine will is heartbeat without heart. The creature is the heart. My will is the heartbeat. So if you think about that, we're the heart, he's the heartbeat. So when you think about the divine will beating in your heart, but he needs your heart in order to beat in your heart. So he needs our body in order to express his will through us. See what inseparable union exists between my fiat and the creature. The heart is nothing. It has no value without the heartbeat. With the heartbeat, the life of the creature is constituted. So without the divine will, our heart would be dead. It wouldn't beat. So it's nothing without the heartbeat, which is divine will. So you could think about your heart beating and what is beating in your heart. Divine will is beating in your heart. That's how you live in his divine will. To think of all of that in your body, everything that's happening in you, divine will is allowing it to happen, using your bodily functions, all the things in your body that he's put there for you to continue to live. But the heart cannot beat without the heart. The heartbeat cannot beat without the heart. Such is my divine will. If it does not have the nothingness of the heart of the creature, it has no place in which to form its heartbeat of life to carry out and form its divine life. So we are actually nothing. The heart is nothing without the heartbeat. That's how we realize and consider our nothingness. Without the divine will, we are nothing. We have lungs, but the lungs can't breathe if divine will doesn't send the air for us to breathe. See, then, not having a heart, my divine will has created it in the creature so as to have its heart in which to be able to form its heartbeat. So God created us to be loved and to love. And the divine will is all about love. And when you think about love, you think about the heart. This week we celebrated Valentine's Day. We saw some of the sisters had an errand to run down to Novofeltia, to the town below, and they saw all these men running to the this little store that sells flowers for their girlfriends or their wives or whatever. But they had probably just come off of work and it was getting ready to be closing time. And they were all rushing and dashing to get flowers. So love makes the world go around, they say, you know, so love is important. In addition to this, my divine will is breath without body. The creature is the body. My will is the breath. So without the body, the divine will could not breathe in us. So we're the body, the divine will is the breath. Without the breath, the body dies. So again, the body is nothing without the breath. We realize our nothingness in our body. The body without the breath is dead. So what forms the breath of the creature is my divine will. Therefore, one can say the body of it is that of the creature. And her breath is that of the divine volition, my divine volition. See what further union exists between one and the other, a union that cannot be separated. So we cannot be separated from the divine will. Without the divine will, we cannot live. But he wants us just to realize that, to realize his presence within, doing everything within us. Because if the breath ceases, life ceases. Hearing without ears, it is work without hands. Oh, I missed something here. Therefore, my divine will is everything for the creature. It is word without mouth. It is light without eye. It is hearing without ears. It is work without hands. It is step without feet. And therefore, the soul who lives in my divine will serves it as mouth, as eye, as ears, as hands, and as feet. It's just like all of creation. God created everything for us, but creation has no voice. Divine will is the voice in us. In that way, we can see we're nothing either at that point, because we put our I love yous on it. It's actually the divine will in us putting his I love you on everything that we desire to put I love you on. And we're the brain, but God is the desire. The soul is the memory, intellect, and the will, you know. But God is, you know, we have to desire it, but God gives us that ability to desire. Everything we have is his. We have nothing that we can claim our own. So we're the ears, but the divine will is a noise that allows us to hear, you know. It is work without hands. The divine will is work without hands. We're the hands. We're the feet. The divine will is a step without the feet, but we're the feet. Therefore, the soul who lives in the divine will serves as its mouth, its eye, its ears, as hands, and as feet. My will restricts itself to enclose itself in the creature. While remaining immense and victorious, it forms its kingdom in her, making use of her as if she were its body, in which it palpitates, breathes, speaks, operates, and walks. Therefore, the sorrow of my divine fiat, because creatures do not lend themselves to let it carry out all its operations in them, to let it reign, and they force it to silence and to inactivity, is incomprehensible. And with divine and unspeakable patience, it waits for those who must live in its will, so as to resume its speaking and its divine activity, to form its kingdom in the midst of creatures. Therefore, be attentive, my daughter. Listen to the speaking of my divine fiat. Give it life in all your acts, and you will see the unexpected portents that my divine will do in you. So to me, it seems that the only way to really do acts in the divine will is to realize that our body is nothing without the divine will flowing and working through us. Our heart would die without the heartbeat. Our lungs could not breathe without the breath. So God is doing it all. We're just responding. We're just allowing him to use our body to express his will through us. And he says that, we're stealing from him when we don't realize that's happening. You know, the people who are out of his divine will are stealing from him. He continues to give these gifts, but it's not like they belong to his family. You know, we belong to the family, so it's all ours. It's like he's the king and we're his children. And so everything, we're not stealing. Then when we live in his divine will, is that we own everything. It's all ours. And he wants to give us everything. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be so happy. He takes joy and delight in our joy and delight. And I think as we come into that realm of realizing him doing everything in and through us more fully, we will enter into that great joy and peace that he desires for us to have always. And God is constant. And then we'll be constant like God. In everything. We won't go up and down. We'll be always the same as God is. Anybody wants to share anything?
Well, you know, Mother, quickly, that analogy about the sun, it's so true, because, you know, the sun is available to everyone, even those who reject the divine will. And again, Jesus says that, you know, they're as if they're thieves because they're not participating in the oneness of God. Also, you know, Jesus explains that that what you said, Mother, in the passage about, you know, when Adam lost everything, he really didn't lose everything, because it is the divine will that beats the heart, breathes the lungs, and flows the blood. If God had not allowed that to retain or remain, then Adam would have ceased to exist. And of course, we wouldn't be here today to speak about this. But it had to, that life-giving gift of the divine will, the lungs, the heart, and the blood flow, had to be there so that Jesus may come and redeem us. So that Jesus may come now and sanctify us. All of that would not have been available to us if Adam had ceased. And, you know, another thing too, you had mentioned in that passage, or I don't know if it was your comment about, you know, we don't exist without the divine will. And God gives us another example of that in that compilation, The Nothingness of the Soul, where he states that we are nothing but a shadow. And if you think about a shadow only exists if there's an object creating it. There needs to be something forming the shadow. Once that object is removed, there is no shadow. So without the divine will, without God, we are nothing. Sisters?
And also, every time that we do one act, this act in divine will is Jesus. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, infinite Jesus. And I take this meditation about from the volume 16, 19 March 1924, and Luisa described her experience doing this act, but trying to do a connection with what Mother was saying, that we are Jesus need us in doing this act. We can read there is a difference in the part where Luisa described this experience, because at the beginning she say, I so abandoned myself in the supreme volition. And after she say, then afterwards I found myself inside myself. And the first part, she say that she had the mystical experience of what happens when she was doing this act. And she feel that she was multiplying Jesus in other intelligence, in other people, in other souls. After she had, then afterwards, I find myself inside myself. And she said, she told Jesus, my love, it does not seem real to me that I could multiply your love, your life, to give you the great honor of so many divine lives. And besides, you are present everywhere. Therefore, it is by virtue of yourself that this life arises in each act, not because of me. I remain always the little child who is good at nothing. This is real, because in divine will we learn that we are nothing. But at the moment when she entered in herself, she start to think this. And this is the dimension of our life. We are so immersed in our material life that we are not to think too much about what happens, because it's something that happens in a dimension that is over us. But Jesus told to Luisa, yes, all it's real. I am present everywhere, not because of you, but because of my virtue. But he had, but when the soul enters into my will, it is her love, it is her acts that being filled with divine virtue make my life arise according to how her acts are more or less extended and are done. So it's very important to, we cannot have the same experience of Luisa, but we are in faith. And in faith, we have to believe that all these beautiful things happens. And at the end, Jesus say, my contentment is so great that it is not given to the creature to comprehend it while she lives in exile, but she will comprehend it in the celestial fatherland when she sees herself repaid with as many divine lives for as many as she formed upon earth.
Thank you, sister. You know, at the end there, you said, when Jesus said, it's not for us to understand now in this life of exile here on earth. And that's so important to recognize too, because as we're journeying in the divine will, as we're reading the volumes, as we're listening, as we're studying, we're trying to put it into practice, we're not going to get it. And that's to be expected. But God wants to judge us really on our desire. And based on our desire, that's when he will start to feed us these knowledges. And he has to give it to us little by little. Otherwise, our minds would basically explode. And, you know, another thing too, we're talking about, you know, entering into his will and, again, performing those acts and rounds, in essence, reestablishes our life in God. Mother, sisters? Yeah.
Well, Sister Grace is here right now. It's her 19th birthday, and she's getting ready to go to adoration. So I thought she would say what she wants to say to everybody today, okay?
Okay, we'll take a quick 15 seconds. So happy birthday to Grace. Happy birthday to Grace. Happy birthday, dear Grace. Happy birthday, dear Grace. Hi, Grace.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, there's so much to be grateful for these 19 years of my life. So thanks be to God. And today, for the divine will, I like to talk about our personal relationship with God. So today in the Divine Will in volume 28 from November 30th, 1930, I was reading about how Jesus was explaining to Louisa the reason why God is not known and loved, and why people even doubt the authenticity of her writings. And I'm going to read this quick passage from volume 28. To think of us as far away is a deadly iron that kills the love of the creature toward the creator. Distance breaks any friendship. Who can ever think of loving, of knowing, and of hoping from a faraway being? No one. And we are forced to repeat, we are with them, inside of them, and it seems that they do not know us. And while their love, their will, by not loving us, are far away from us, they say that we are far away from them. And this is the reason for which some who have read my intimacies with you have reached the point of doubting. It is precisely this, because they think that I am the faraway God, and being far away, so many intimacies between you and me cannot take place. Now, my daughter, do you want to know who makes God be felt alive in the heart of the creature? My will reigning in her. In fact, not giving life to the human will, my fiat makes her feel vividly its love, its power, its goodness and sanctity that run in all the acts of the creature. And from reading this, it's really important to remember that God isn't far away, not caring about us. God is within us. We receive him in communion every day. And if you want to start to live in the kingdom of the divine will, then we have to start thinking of like the Holy Trinity dwelling within us, and of the divine indwelling, and how God is with us, and how we should start doing our acts and rounds in the divine will every day, even in the littlest acts. And we should say, Jesus, come like talk in my talking, or sleep in my sleeping, or read in my reading. And we have to keep in mind that God is always with us, and he's not just far away, like how many people unfortunately think in that. Jesus wants to do everything in and with us.
And we're so fortunate we can say that today, because back in the 1600s, there was a Maria Perutte, I think her name was, when she mentioned about the near and far of the of God, they actually, I think they hung her. They didn't like that phrase. So again, everything evolves, and just we're so blessed, like you said, Grace, to be where we are at this place at this time. And again, God has, he's predestined us to be here. It's not predestination, but he knew we'd be alive at this time, and he's waiting. He's waiting for each and every one of us to come back to him, in essence. Mother, we've got about a minute before break. Anything?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is a great time to be alive. This is the time of purification. Everything is going to be purified. We're going through purification of the world and the church. And it's a glorious time, because we're going to come out to a new glorious church, and the world will be different than what it's ever been before. And so, you know, we have to look forward to that. We have to realize this, we should want all of this to happen. We should want purification to take place and justice to take place, because without his justice, there will be no change in the world. And with things going the way they are, the future generations will have no life here on this planet if things are not changed for the better. And the only way they're going to be changed for the better is through God's justice. Now, God is not sending all these evil things. Most of them sent by man, but he allows things to happen for a greater good. He brings a greater good out of everything. We have to know that. The scripture says that all things work out for good for those who love God. So if we love God, we have to know that all this is going to work out for our good in the end. And so to be joyful about it, to pray for souls to be saved, that's what you really need to pray for during these times when maybe many people will die. I think Our Lady said that at Fatima, 3/3 of the world would be annihilated. Many souls will die sudden and unprepared deaths. So our role is to pray for those people, to do acts and rounds in divine will, so that more people will be transformed during these times that we have left before everything is just totally in rambles, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, until everything falls apart so much, and people will have a hard time turning to the Lord. So now is the time for us to pray that they will be converted. Our Lady said that in Medjugorje. Now is the time to convert. Now is the time to turn to our Lord with all your heart, because now is a time of grace and his mercy.
Yes. And in the volumes, Jesus says the time is now. It's been 6,000 years since he's been, and his blessed mother been disposing us to receive this gift, to give us all the tools we needed in order not to break down again, like Adam did. I'd like to lead into break. with a quote and a little passage from Angelus Silesius, a mystic from the 1600s. And in a phrase addressed to all of humanity, he said, "You say that someday you will see God and his light? Fool. If not today, you will never see him. Heaven, in fact, is not a place to get to, but a way of being that is marked by serenity, joy, and happiness, despite the difficulties and suffering that punctuate our life." End quote. God's been working. Our Blessed Lady's been working. They'll never stop. They say, our Lord says, and we trust him, we believe him, we finally arrive. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Seen the tables turn, I'm on.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
Thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to again thank Radio Maria for this opportunity to bring to you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, with Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. You know, we're talking about being disposed and disposition. And, you know, really, Mother and Sisters, to be disposed, it's a two-way street. It's a two-person joint. God and His Blessed Mother have been disposing us for the last 6,000 years. And let's say, for example, they've disposed us 80%. They've disposed us enough for those inclined to receive this gift and to acknowledge it, to recognize that this is something extraordinary. But there is some work that is due on our part. You know, we have to help that disposition, enhance it by the knowledge. The knowledge is, because again, just like you know, the Baltimore Catechism, you know, we're born to know, love, and serve God in that order. Because the more we know God, the more, of course, we're going to love Him, and the more we love Him, of course, the more we're going to want to serve Him. You know, when Grace said just before she left, she was talking about, you know, that we're not going to understand. Jesus was saying that we're not going to understand this gift completely, and we're not going to understand it very well while here in exile on earth. But He does give us a hint as to how we can better understand this. And it's found in volume 36, which is in essence the finale of the Book of Heaven. It's found on May 19th, 1938. It's what our Blessed Lord tells us. This is great admonition and a hint as to what we need to do. He tells us, quote, "So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will find my flames and be all transformed in love, will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truths produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light, giving sight to their intelligence and the life of sanctity contained in my truths. But for those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths." End quote. It brings to mind also the efficacy of the Holy Eucharist. It's all predicated on our disposition. God's power doesn't diminish, but it may not be absorbed by us if we're not properly disposed. So disposition is so important. Again, God and His Blessed Mother have done their work. Now we have to do our work. And really, our work is very simple. It's to read, listen, study, meditate, and believe and trust Jesus and what He's given us. This, the greatest gift that He can give to mankind. That's what He said. In fact, really quickly, Mother, in The Son of My Will, this is a biography of Luisa Picaretta, published by the Vatican Publishing Company back in 2015. Actually, it's the only biography published of someone not at the stage of a blessed. So they know something, of course. And it states here in the conclusion of this book, again, published by the Vatican, they're going to be very careful in what they publish. In the conclusion, it states, quote, "Here is what clearly appears, that this living in the divine will of Jesus is the greatest gift that He wants to give to people. It is an overflow of His mercy, because it is His mercy to want to splurge even more, pouring out His love." End quote. That's what they said in the conclusion. But then it goes on to say, this is the caveat, "But in order to understand, it is necessary to take a leap into a mystery that is inexplicable or unable to be explained, but that can be embraced and followed if one so chooses." End quote. Mother, sisters.
We were talking before how all the problems that are in the world right now, and it seems like everything is going upside down. But I was reading a passage the other day that when on volume 26, April 16, 1929, when Jesus, Luisa was feeling the pain of Jesus' privation, and then Jesus told her, "Courage, O daughter, do not abandon yourself with your sorrow, but ascend higher. You know that you have a task to fulfill, and this task is so great that not even the pain of my privation must stop you. On the contrary, it must serve you to ascend higher in the light of my divine will." So for when I read this, I felt like, wow, this is it's a good passage for these times that we are living, because yeah, it seems like everything is going down, but from there we need to take courage. From there we need to start a new life. From there we need to abandon ourselves more and more in Jesus, because Jesus said to Lisa, you have a task to fulfill. That was for her, but it's also for us. So we have a task to fulfill. We have to bring the light of Jesus to everyone, to the people that we meet every day. Maybe someone is sad, even just with a smile or with a look, we can bring the light of Jesus in these people. So we need to remember that we need to be courageous, especially in this time, and not to to start to that this occasion we need to to ascend higher. And and also Mother before she was saying that all our body is a reminder of God. And I remember once, I don't know if I read it or if someone told me, maybe I think I read it in the books, that was saying Jesus was saying, maybe to Louise, I think, she was saying that when you don't feel me or something, just listen your heartbeat, and that's me. That's a reminder that the divine will is beating in you. So we need to remind her, and also to see the beauty that Jesus created, all the beauty that is around us, the nature, the wind, the sea, and everything. This is all act of adoration that Jesus did for the love that he had in himself, and all, and everything came out with all this this act. So we should remind ourselves, we should go out and even for a walk and just not doing anything, not say anything, but just love this act of adoration that Jesus did for us. That it's the wind, it's the birds, it's everything that's around us.
Yeah, that was Luisa's task, to bring this gift of the divine will to the world. And we have a task also, like you articulated, sister. In fact, Jesus reminds us what our task is in volume 33, March 4th, 1934. Quote, "It behooves you to know that acts done in my will," that's what Mother keeps reminding us of, "form the pathways that will serve to admit souls to live in my will. And they are so very necessary that if heroic souls do not first come forth in order to live in it and form these principal pathways of its kingdom, the generations not finding those pathways will not know what to do to enter into my will. Do you see how necessary these pathways are?" End quote.
Mother, amen. Yes, on February 5th, 1913, volume 11, this Jesus is talking about how those who do not live in his divine will, it is as if they're stealing from God. But that's not, I don't want to go into that one because it's quite long, but the one at the bottom kind of struck me. And he talks about the difference between my will and love. He tells Luisa, "My daughter, do you know the difference between my will and love? My will is sun. Love is fire. My will, like sun, has no need of nourishment, nor does it grow or decrease in light and in heat. It remains always equal to itself, and its light is always most pure. On the other hand, the fire, which symbolizes love, needs wood in order to be fed. And if the wood is missing, it can even be extinguished. It grows and decreases according to the wood that is placed in it. Therefore, it is subject to instability, and its light is always gloomy, mixed with smoke, especially if love is not regulated by my will." Having said this, he disappeared, and a light remained in my mind, through which I comprehended that the will of God is like sun for the soul, because the acts that are done as wanted by God form one single thing with the divine will. And there it is, the sun is formed. The wood, what maintains the sun, is the human action, and one's own entire being united to the action, to the divine being. So this is the wood, and the wood was signified. And let me just finish this part, and then I'll kind of go into it. And then she says, "So the soul herself becomes a wood, provided by the divine will. And this wood cannot be missing. Therefore, this sun has no need of nourishment. It neither grows nor decreases. It is always equal to itself. Its light is most pure because it takes part in everything, and the divine being and the divine wood are never depleted and are not subject to smoke. So, and she doesn't explain about the love because she says it's self-explanatory. And when I reread that part, and the fire, it's a symbol which symbolizes love, needs wood in order to be fed. The wood is our actions, because back here, she says, the wood that maintains the sun is the human action. So if our acts, if we know about the divine will, we desire to live in the divine will, but we have to do God's will in order to live in the divine will. And living in the divine will is not our job. It's the Lord does that. You know, it's so our job is to do his will, of course, desire the divine will, to live in the divine will. So if you're doing his will, that's the fire that's going to ignite the love. And that's the sun will be in you. Basically, the divine will reign in you if you're doing God's will. And then that made me think, you know, like, wow, well, you know, well, how do you know if you're doing God's will? Well, we know because, you know, we live in a community. We have somebody who we, you know, we have rules. We have a superior and we have mother, you know. But for people out there, I was thinking, like, you know, if I'm explaining this to my mother, you know, you, of course, you'd like what mother would probably give some more input on this. But, you know, you follow what the church says, you know, you follow the precepts of the church. But also you I think it would help if you do cultivate, and what Sister Grace was saying, cultivate like an interior silence. Think of the Holy Trinity dwelling within you. The thing is, we watch a lot of things, listen to a lot of things that can be very distracting. And even though we're not loud on the outside, we're very loud inside. And so you can't hear the Holy Spirit. And you can't be docile because you're so loud. So if you cultivate this interior silence, then I think it would be, I know it will be much easier to listen to the Lord, and he'll let you know, he'll guide you on what it is that he wants you to do and or how to respond, or, you know, in acts of love, even in prayer, you know, a certain acts and rounds that he wants you to do, you know, spontaneously, you'll start having a desire to do certain rounds and acts, you know, and that comes from the Lord. So, Mother, did you want to add to any of that?
Well, I think, you know, people want a noisy life sometimes because they don't want to face God. They don't want that. They're afraid. They're afraid to look for God. It seems like they're enjoying the entertainments, the things in the world that keep them from really facing who they are and looking for God. And so the noisiness sometimes is an escape from what we're really called to. We're really called to have that deep relationship with him, to seek him with all our hearts. And like Sister said, you have to do it in silence. You have to have a quiet insight, you know, and so you can make that silence in your world. You can get away from the noise. You just can always escape noise and spend time with God, even if it's in your backyard, you know. Maybe you can't get to the church, but you can spend in your quiet bedroom, take all the noise off, the TV, everything, and just talk to God and let him talk to you. He wants that time alone with you, to develop that relationship with you, that he loves you so much. I was just reading the Divine Will the other day. When we come to know how much God loves us and how much he did, how much he suffered for us, each soul, we're going to just fall in love with him. We just don't know what he did for us. We don't understand how much he loves us, but he's all love. He's all love.
That's also so important to cultivate that silence, almost emulating our Blessed Mother, having Marian silence. In fact, there's a two-page document, very short, but very powerful, from some mystics. It's called Droplets of Silence. And it's located on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. And it's on the page entitled Divine Will Resource Library. Again, it's called Droplets of Silence. It'll have Luisa's quotes. It'll have some mystics' quotes. And it just helps us to cultivate that Marian silence, which our Blessed Mother gave us the greatest example of. Sisters?
Yes, I think this silence really helps us always be concentrated on God and connected to what Sister Gemma was saying. And yes, later about the necessity of the acts as a pathways for like future generations, the necessity that we do it now in our present time. Like, I think some of the acts and that we can do in our time, like that are connected with this time, were not the same like when in Jesus's and Mary's time and Louisa's time. Like, for example, all this crazy stuff happening in the world, like with COVID, with vaccinations, with the sufferings of a lot of people. Maybe I was just thinking, maybe really God wants us to do this into acts, like also, for example, like when we need to maybe work on the computer or use the internet or drive the car, like really to do also these acts, like to invite Jesus to do this in us. Like maybe some of these acts that are really connected with our present time and with our technology, with all these happenings in this time, God wants us to do that because maybe this were not done by anyone before us. Maybe the act that we are we have opportunity to do like today was not done. Nobody before us did it. So I was just reading in the volume 12, May 24, 1920. The acts done in the divine will be the defenders of the divine throne, not only in the present time, but until the end of centuries. My daughter, the acts done in my will dissolve the human acts and identifying themselves with my divine acts. They rise up to heaven, circulate in everyone, embrace all centuries, all points and all creatures. And since they remain fixed in my will, these acts are and will be the defenders of my throne for each offense which creatures give to me, not only in the present time, but until the end of the centuries. Rising to defend me, they will make reparations counter to the offenses that creatures will make. The acts done in my will have the virtue of multiplying themselves according to the need and the circumstances which my glory requires. What will be the happiness of the soul when she finds herself up there in heaven and sees her acts done in my will as defenders of my throne, and which, having a continuous echo of reparation, will reject the echo of the offenses that come from the earth? So this kind of, I reading this passage, I imagine the picture, like kind of like all the acts done by all human generations are like a huge database kind of stored, and they all have this bug, the imprint of the human will. I mean, instead of the acts of those that have the gift. So kind of if we really desire and God gives us this opportunity, the gift is kind of like we enter into the program and make this change, this like for example, if all the human acts with human imprint are black and we do this change and like divine will is the button applied to all and all become white. And I was just thinking of the importance, how maybe like really those acts that we can do in present time, like for example, when we hear all the sufferings caused by COVID or the vaccinations or the threats of war or all these things, like we can offer it united with the sufferings of Jesus and offer it really in the will of God for the coming of his kingdom. Like really, maybe God wants us to be exposed to all those news and informations, not to just like say, okay, it is confusing, but I will not think about it, but kind of to use it, like really to use it with that his kingdom comes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. It's opportunity. The news can be opportunity. You know, it's interesting too, when we talk about pathways, it's not necessarily what we do. Our acts and rounds, if you think about it, they basically, what they do is they trigger God to dispense grace to all souls. And that's the biggest delineation between the acts done outside of God's will and in his divine will. That's the pathways that we're forming. It's us triggering that jackhammer of God that's going to drill that hole and to establish those pathways. We're not doing it, but we're actually, we're holding the shovel for God as God shovels the pathway so that each soul may receive this gift if he or she wants it. sisters?
Okay, I just wanted to share a passage that I was reading today from volume 29, May 31st, 1931. It was basically Jesus was telling Louisa that the souls that are going to live in his will are like little Nazarites. And it was, I don't know, I just found it really beautiful and I wanted to share it. He says, "My daughter, indeed the kingdom of my divine will has existed upon earth. And therefore there is the sure hope that it will return again to its full force. Our house of Nazareth was its true kingdom. However, we were without peoples. Now you must know that each creature is a kingdom. Therefore, one who lets the divine will reign within herself can be called the little kingdom of the supreme fiat. So she is a tiny little house of Nazareth that we have upon earth. And though little, since our will is in her, reigning, heaven is not closed for her. She observes the same laws of the celestial fatherland. She loves with the same love, feeds herself with the foods from up there, and is incorporated into the kingdom of our interminable regions. Now, in order to form the great kingdom of our will upon earth, first we will make the many tiny little houses of Nazareth, that is, the souls who will want to know it in order to let it reign within themselves. I myself and the sovereign queen will be at the head of these tiny little houses because we have been the first to possess this kingdom on earth. It is our right that we will not surrender to anyone to be the directors of them. Then with these tiny little houses, repeaters of our house of Nazareth, we will form many little states of ours, many provinces that after they have been formed well and ordered like many little kingdoms of our will, we fuse together and will form one single kingdom and one great people." So we all have a mission. You know, we all are called to be Nazareth. And the more Nazareths there are, you know, the bigger that our Lord's kingdom grows on the earth, and the bigger that it grows, eventually it's going to come and reign over all of the earth. I mean, I just found this so beautiful because I think sometimes when in our fallen nature, we can make things more complicated and get a little confused. Something like this is something very simple to turn back to. You know, our model is Nazareth. Our model is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We can think of the silence of their house and the time they spent in prayer, of their union with the Eternal Father, of them doing everything for the glory of the Father and according to his will, their love for each other, the presence of Jesus constantly with them, and the simplicity of their life too. You know, what happened in those 30 years of Jesus's private life, of the hidden years. He was a carpenter. He learned the trade from St. Joseph. Mary cooked the meals. They cleaned the house. They spoke, they prayed, they probably helped neighbors and I don't know, but they live simple lives like we live. And so every act that we do, no matter how simple, is a great opportunity to make our souls little Nazareths.
It's just Magdalene, you want to share something?
Amen.
Just a little bit. Well, actually, I was listening to everybody and I just wanted to share something also. Mother did bring up a very important, and the sisters, very important things that was brought up tonight. And I would just, one thing is that the Lord does need our flesh. It is because I was meditating on volume 34, January 22, just read this because I don't have time to read, but it talks about we repeat our acts. When we do it in divine will, we do it repeatedly with Jesus. So Jesus was redemptive, we're doing it redemptive. Not only our flesh, he needs our human will, because the other creations don't have human, they don't have will. We are the only ones given to that. So think about the flesh, the human will given to God.
Okay, amen. So...
got about 1 minute, Mother. Sorry, Sister Magdalena, to rush you on that, but we've got about a minute left. Mother, any closing thoughts? Or anyone like to?
We have so many people here today. Not everybody gets a chance to talk.
I know. So, I love it though, but I'll talk less next time. I promise.
No, it's okay. No. We enjoy hearing what you have to say, you know. So we're just going to just encourage people to continue to do acts and rounds in divine will. I repeat that every time, but that's how you get there. That's how you learn to live in his divine will, to realize he's within you, doing everything in and through you, just to realize his presence and let him do it. Let him do the speaking in your speaking, the listening in your listening, the sleeping in your sleeping. Everything you do, God is doing it in you. Without him, we can do nothing. Just be aware of his presence and that this is a gift from God, that we can function, we can do all these things. It's pure gift from God. So we have to be grateful and realize his, him doing it within us, so we can realize our nothingness then too.
Amen. Just like St. John Paul II reminded us, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to dive into these volumes. And if we feel like we're not understanding it, give God the time through that Marian silence, because he can't speak when we're speaking. He's very polite. He waits till we're done talking. Allow him to speak in our hearts and in our minds and our souls. And he's going to give us a breath of air that we've never received before. I'd like to close with two short quotes. The first one comes from the Liturgy of the Hours, Volume 2. Quote, Father, in restoring human nature, you have given us a greater dignity than we had in the beginning. End quote. And from Ezekiel 36:11, quote, I will be more generous to you than in the beginning. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. End quote. Again, reestablishing, as Vatican II tells us, the common priesthood that was given to Adam, given to Eve, and is still being given to us. Again, we're back to the other side. We thank God for this opportunity. We thank Radio Maria for the opportunity to be here in your homes, in your places of work, in your church, in your business, in your hearts. We thank you, our Lord. We love you. And Blessed Mother, please keep protecting us and holding our hand. Thank you. Ciao, everyone. And God willing, see everyone next week.